Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another Taco Tuesday. I'm registered dietitian nutritionist Amber Boyens with MU Nutrition here to talk to you today about another fun nutrition topic. Today, I thought we could talk a little bit about fermented foods. And fermented foods are not super common in the United States as a whole, but especially in the Midwest. It's something a lot of people are kind of unfamiliar with the foods themselves, and unfamiliar with the benefits of these foods. But this is something that we've had a lot of emerging evidence on in recent years, because we found that they have loads and loads of benefit for our overall health. So just like pretty much every other week, I'm going to talk about gut health, because that is the center of all of our wellness. And fermented foods are, again, going to impact that gut health. So first of all, what is fermentation? Most people have heard of fermentation. They might think of alcohol, which is fermented. Some people think of some of the foods that we eat. But what's happening when we do fermentation, in simple, oversimplified terms, is it's essentially a chemical breakdown of sugar by microorganisms such as yeast or bacteria. So when we ferment things, it usually takes hours, days, weeks, years, depending on what exactly we're fermenting. So the things that people might be a little bit more familiar with might be foods like yogurt. Most of us have had or tried yogurt at some point in the past, but yogurt, kimchi, sauerkraut, kombucha, kefir, sourdough, and then some of our fermented soy foods like tempeh, natto, and miso, which might be a little less familiar to people and maybe not the first thing that you're going to try when it comes to fermented foods. But let's dig into some of these other fermented foods just a little bit more. So let's start with the most comfortable one, and that's yogurt. Most people, like I mentioned, have tried yogurt at some point in the past, and we have yogurts that are great for us, and we have yogurts that are maybe less great for us. Now, the research suggests for the most part that any consumption of yogurt is likely beneficial, and part of that is because milk itself is a prebiotic. And remember, prebiotics are food for the good, healthy bacteria in our gut. Now, when foods go through that process of fermentation, what's created are some of those probiotics, so those healthy bacteria, funguses, viruses, everything that live in our gut. Now, the little trick with yogurt is, first of all, sometimes it has loads and loads of sugar added to it. And if your yogurt has a lot of color, or that isn't coming from fruit, or has cereal names for it, like some of our colorful cereals have been turned into yogurt, those are maybe not the best choices. Now, any yogurt that has added probiotics is our ultimate goal. So there's a couple of bacteria that make yogurt yogurt, that really aid in that fermentation process of turning yogurt into what it is. But those bacteria don't survive our digestive tract very well. So anytime we can get yogurt that has some added bacteria in it, that's going to be even better. And you'll know that by turning that container of yogurt around and looking at that ingredient list. And right on there, it will say live and active cultures. And it will usually list which ones are there. So the more it lists, the better. Kefir is often sold near the yogurt, and that's also a fermented dairy product. Now, you can make your own kefir at home. You can make your own yogurt at home if you're feeling ambitious too. But basically, the only thing that you need to make kefir is kefir grains, which you can purchase or get from somebody else who's made kefir in the past, and then fresh milk, and you can make fermented milk. Now, kefir, the benefit of kefir over yogurt is that it typically has way more of those live and active cultures in it. So yogurt usually has like 2 to 4 active cultures, whereas kefir usually has somewhere in the range of 8 to 12. Now, both of those are probably going to have some added sugar, especially if you get one with a flavor. But the more you can choose the ones that just have less added sugar, the better. And if you're feeling like you need it sweetened a little bit, adding in some fruit, adding in some pure maple syrup, some honey, something like that that we know has nutritional benefit versus just the cane sugar that usually comes in there, can be great. Now, there are some non-sweet fermented options that we can do as well. Things like kimchi. So kimchi is a traditional Korean food. It's a fermented vegetable, usually things like Napa cabbage and Korean radishes. Sometimes kimchi can be a little bit spicier because it's usually well seasoned. This one's a little bit harder for some of our Scandinavian taste buds out here in Western Minnesota, but it can be a fun one to try. You can add kimchi to different dishes. You can add it onto sandwiches, anything like that. And it can be a great way to mix up the flavors in the meals that you're having day to day. Another fermented cabbage dish that's maybe a little less adventurous and popular with our German cultures is sauerkraut. Now, sauerkraut's another one that you can make at home. You can even make a simple sauerkraut in a mason jar. Really, all you need is salt and cabbage, and then maybe some seasonings like dill, caraway, mustard seeds, anything like that, really whatever seasonings you want. Lots of recipes online for fermenting your own sauerkraut at home. But that can be a fun one to add into your diet too. And even if you have that fermented sauerkraut at home, taking a couple spoonfuls of it each day can have a ton of benefit for your gut. And we'll talk about all of the benefits of these fermented foods here in just a moment. So another drink that's usually not quite as sweet as like the kefir would be, or as sweet as yogurt, another drink is kombucha. Kombucha, you can get it at most of the local grocery stores around here, or again, you can make it yourself at home, but it's basically a fermented tea. So the ingredients that go into a kombucha would be like a SCOBY, which is a starter kind of mass of bacteria. And then either distilled white vinegar or some pre-made kombucha unsweetened, and then black tea, water, and sugar. So again, we're putting sugar in because that's what these bacteria eat to have that chemical breakdown of sugar that gives us the probiotics that we want to have. So kombucha comes in lots of different flavors too, and that's another one where I just recommend looking at labels, trying to choose one that has a little bit less added sugar, but most of them are going to have some. You can control that a little bit more if you make it at home, but there's plenty of good ones that you can buy at the grocery store. And then the last one that we'll go into a little bit of detail with here is sourdough. A lot of people love sourdough bread. You can make it with regular wheat, you can make it with rye, lots of different ways to make sourdough bread. Again, you can make it at home. It does take several hours, often overnight and into the next day, but it does have a lot of benefit and it only has a few ingredients, wheat flour and salt, or water flour and salt, I'm sorry. But it does take time, so it's perfectly fine to buy it in a store. Just look at that label and make sure it doesn't have a bunch of extra things added to it that would take away from all the benefit. So for people who have non-celiac gluten sensitivities, who don't tolerate gluten quite as well, the fermentation process breaks down some of the gluten when we make sourdough. So some people are able to tolerate that a little bit better than other breads. Now, why do we want to eat these foods? So I mentioned it's good for our gut, the probiotics that we get from it, and usually the foods that are creating those probiotics, the foods that we're fermenting, have prebiotic benefit too. So those together are called synbiotics. You're eating something that contains the healthy bacteria and also contains the food to keep that healthy bacteria in your gut. On top of that, fermentation appears to reduce what are called anti-nutrients, things like phytic acid that reduce the absorption of some minerals. It has beneficial effects on things like the immune system, cardiovascular system, and metabolism as a whole. One recent study showed that there was a reduction of 19 inflammatory markers, including something called interleukin 6, in those who consumed a lot of fermented foods. And interleukin 6 is something that's associated with rheumatoid arthritis, type 2 diabetes, and just chronic stress. So eating these fermented foods can be helpful at bringing some of that inflammation down that increases our risk for other diseases. And finally, these fermented foods have been shown to help activate some of our phytonutrients like flavanols, which makes those anti-inflammatory, colorful things that we're eating even more powerful in our body. So it's okay to start with just one of these fermented foods if you want to try something, but in the long run, the greater variety, the better. So get out there, try a new food, make it at home or buy it at the store. Either way is just fine, but it can do so much for your health if you get into the routine of eating these. Now, if you have any questions on fermented foods or anything else, feel free to reach out to me at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. Or at Immune Nutrition on Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.